God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. If I'm too large, you're welcome to turn me down. If I'm too soft, you're welcome to still turn me down. Are you expectant this morning, church? I hope you're not expectant in me. I hope you're not expectant in the Word. Because the Word without the power of the Holy Spirit is dead. And so I'm so grateful that this morning we are carrying on a series through the Holy Spirit and talking about the Holy Spirit and His goodness and what He has for us. And I believe He's got us on a journey. And I'd just like to ask you right at the beginning of the meeting today, is have an expectation for God to do something that is extravagant in your life, not only today, but going forward. Today, we live as a people in an age where the impossible has become possible. Do you believe that? We live in an age where the impossible has become possible. On February the 15th, 1946, ENIAC, short for Electronic Numerical Integrator and Computer, the world's first ever large-scale electronic digital computer capable of being able to solve a full range of problems, came online. ENIAC was designed and built to calculate artillery firing tables for the U.S. Army, but it was actually the computer that they first used to help design the hydrogen bomb. ENIAC was massive. There you can see a picture of it. It contained 17,468 vacuum tubes, 7,200 crystal diodes, 1,500 relays, 70,000 resistors, 10,000 capacitors, and around 5 million hand-soldered joints. Imagine being that, the guy who had to do that, right? Weighed 27 tons, was roughly 2.4 meters by a meter, by 2.4 meters by 30 meters long by 1 meter wide, and it consumed 150 kilowatts of power. Now, if you'd asked the guys that built that in that day whether it would one day be possible that there would be a computer that could do the same computing power that ENIAC was capable of by a piece of electronic equipment that is the size of the period at the end of a sentence, they would have said impossible. But that's it. Think of the speed of an aeroplane. The first successful flight of an aeroplane was orchestrated by the? Well done. You know your history, eh? In a place called Kitty Hawk. The first attempt was with the brothers Wilbur and his brother Orville, and the plane traveled at 6.82 miles per hour. Woohoo! 10.98 kilometers per hour. On the 28th of July, 1976, a guy or two guys, one guy called Captain Eldon Juris and Major George T. Morgan, flew the Lockheed SR-71 Blackbird at Beale Air Force Base in the United States at a speed of 2,193.2 miles per hour, or 3,529.6 kilometers an hour. They still hold the record for the fastest manned flight. Listen to this one. On the 22nd of April, an unmanned aircraft called the HTV-2 Falcon became the fastest unmanned aerial vehicle able to fly at 13,201 miles per hour, or a cool 21,245 kilometers per hour. Woo! That's a bit of pace, right? Imagine the guys asking the Wright brothers, do you think one day it's going to be possible to fly an aircraft at this speed? They would have probably said impossible. An image created by NASA shows the extent of what we now know today to be the observable universe. I don't know if this photo is going to come out. Oh yeah, you can see it there. Amazing picture of what our observable universe today looks like as far as NASA knows. If you look at your TV screen there, that's pictured there, the distance from where you are to your TV screen may be 3 meters, right? If you take it to the extent of the observable universe, what they now know to be the observable universe, the distance from Earth is considered to be 446 sextillion kilometers. Now, if you don't know what a sextillion is, well, it depends where you live. In the US, a sextillion, it would be 440 with 21 noughts behind it. If you live in Britain, I don't know why they have to be better than in the US, but in Britain, a sextillion has 36 noughts behind it. But either one, it's a jolly lot of kilometers. In fact, light years, and this is how they measure time and space, right? Light years, 13.8 billion years ago, the light that the astronomers are seeing today from the outer edge of the observable universe left that place 13.8 billion years ago, the light. I believe already at creation, guys, a plan was put in place by the Father, a plan that would do the seemingly impossible one day. A plan that would allow the same power that brought that universe into being, the same power that knitted you and I together in our mother's wombs, the same power that opened blind eyes, the same power that caused lame men to walk, the same power that tore the curtain in the temple from top to bottom, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the same power to live not alongside you and me, but in you and me. Through the person of the Holy Spirit. And today, that is not impossible, folks. That is the reality of what we live in today. I want us to really search our hearts this morning, because I think we live still thinking that's impossible. I think the way that we live our lives sometimes, it's still a case where we don't believe the fullest extent of the power that created that universe to be able to dwell within me and you. This morning. See, what we're looking at this morning is Jesus' promise of the Holy Spirit ministry. And I believe when the Father stood at the edge of creation eons ago and he started looking out, and it says the Spirit hovered over the waters and he started creating, and he looked and he spoke into the darkness and he said, "Let there be light." And then he turned around and he looked at the expanse and he spoke to the expanse and separated the waters and created the heavens. And he spoke to the waters and said, "Let the heavens come into being." And he spoke when he wanted to create the earth to the waters and he said, "Let the earth and the seas be separated." And they were separated. And he spoke to the earth and he said, "This is not good without vegetation." And he said to the earth, "Let vegetation come forth," and trees and plants and everything fill the earth. He spoke to the skies and birds and the seas and birds and fish. Bible says beyond number were created. Spoke to the earth and he called forth living creatures of every kind and they came forth. But you know what? When he created man, the Bible says he said, "Let us make man in our own image." He didn't speak to anything else. He spoke to himself. Because one day he knew that the things that we now know to be us that he created were going to have to be carriers of the presence and the power of God. And he said, "It's got to be like me. It can't be just something. It's got to be special. It's got to be able to have intimacy with me. It's got to be able to have relationship with me." And he created us in his own image. See, Jesus promised the Holy Spirit ministry, and that's what we're looking at this morning, folk. And I want to just draw a couple of things out, and I want to be as quick as possible, because I want to say, please anticipate something of the Holy Spirit this morning, because if we walk out here the same, and we're on a journey, folk, and if we're on a journey of knowledge, we're on the incorrect journey. We're on a journey to find more of the heart of God for our lives, because God has plans and purposes for each one of you that are sitting here and myself that are way beyond our thoughts or imaginations. In John 16, verse 7, it says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is," and this is Jesus speaking, "it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to my Father and you will see me no longer. Concerning judgment, because of the ruler of the world is judged." The first thing that I want to talk about in terms of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in Jesus' promise is that it guaranteed that that access to the very nature, the very power of God was no longer going to be limited to a specific location. See, up till now, Jesus, the impact of Jesus' ministry and his life had been to do what? His impact of his life was to come and to a dying world who knew not the King of the universe. He came and he said, and as he walked on this earth, he convicted people of sin. He convicted them of righteousness and he warned them of judgment to come. But now in the scripture, it says this, but if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin. Folk, so often we've got it wrong. Because the Holy Spirit, the impact of the Holy Spirit's ministry on our lives is continuously accessible and available. This is no longer based and specifically to where Jesus was. But today we have the Holy Spirit who ministers life into us, and it's not location-based. He is all-encompassing, and he's able to be within each one of our hearts. He dwells and he lives within our hearts. The prophets of old could only have dreamt of that. Imagine of that. In the old days, the prophets would prophesy. The Spirit of God would come on them. They'd prophesy and the Spirit would depart. And here we live in an age where the Spirit of God lives and dwells continuously if you are born again within your heart. Second thing, Jesus alludes to a transfer of responsibility that is going to take place. Up until now, as I said, the purpose of Jesus on earth had been to convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. And folk, we get the scripture so we gloss over the scripture sometimes. I think we make it harder for ourselves because the Bible says here, if I go, I will send him to you, and when he comes, he will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, Jesus says, if you do not go, if he doesn't go, who? The Holy Spirit will not come. And what is the job of the Holy Spirit? He will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Ever wonder why sometimes it seems so difficult to do the work of God? Well, sometimes I think we take on a role that is not ours to take on. We take on a role that we're not called on. We take on the role of thinking it is our responsibility to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Where in actual fact, that is the work of the Holy Spirit. We are merely called to be carriers of the presence of God, to be obedient to the Holy Spirit, to do what he says. But to hear what he says, we have to listen. So often we don't listen, and instead we take on a role that is not ours. It was never given to us. John 14, verse 15 to 17 says, if you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Third point, the ministry of the Holy Spirit that Jesus released through the promise that was originally sent by the Father, which then Jesus promised to us, is that the Spirit of God comes to dwell with us and in us. A statement that indicates what? Two tenses here. Both present tense, he dwells, and future will be. Said he will dwell with you and in you. A reminder that the Spirit of God is active in our lives even before we knew Christ as Lord. Folk, I'm astounded that God chose me. But do you know what? He chose me. I didn't choose him. If you're sitting here this morning, we get this wrong and we say, God, oh, I'm thank you that I chose you and I came to know you and I put my faith in you. Yes, that's true. But you chose him because the working of the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. He drew you. A reminder that the Spirit of God is active in our lives, and he's alluding also to an infilling of the Holy Spirit that was different. I love to think of it like a picture of like this in the temple where that curtain was torn in two when Jesus was when Jesus died on the cross, that temple was a holy place and there was ministry that took place, but there was always the slightest, thinnest barrier between the holiest of holies and the outer court. And when Jesus died, the Spirit of God ripped that curtain in two, talking about and showing a picture of incredible intimacy. Incredible fact that today there is no barrier. There is no barrier. And you see, with implies this. When he says, I will be with you, it implies alongside, right? If I go with my wife somewhere, I'm alongside her. I go with her. It implies alongside. It implies revelation from the outside in. It implies comfort. It implies healing. It implies wholeness. It implies somebody helping me. It's ministry into my life. But when it says, and in you, that implies something else. That implies a one flesh ministry. It implies revelation from the inside out. It implies ministry of the Holy Spirit flowing out from my life, and most importantly, an intimacy of oneness with Jesus and the Father. Isn't that amazing? He's not just with us, folk. He's in us. Verse 20 says, in that day you will know that I am in the Father. Listen to this mix up here, this conglomeration. That you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Isn't that wonderful? Holy Spirit reaffirms our identity in Christ and our sonship. We are one with Him through the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us. Jesus reminding us that the plan has to be an in plan. It's not just a with plan. It's an in plan, so that there could be absolute confidence in ability, absolute confidence in intimacy, and absolute confidence in the victory. Satan, on the other hand, does not want us to be full of the Holy Spirit for this reason, folk. If he can keep us feeling that we have to depend on our ability, if he can keep us in that place where we're not in that place of intimacy with Christ, we will live in fear and we will not see the victory. Today, the ministry of the Holy Spirit has to be both with and in us. And I'm telling you what, I speak this over my life before I speak it over any of you. If I'm absolutely honest, so much of the time, I love the with ministry, but the in ministry is uncomfortable. See, the with ministry is for me. But the in ministry is God, what he wants to do through me. And that's the part that I get on hung up so much on. John 14, 25 verse 26 goes on to say, these things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Two important things here. The Holy Spirit, what does he do through the promise of Jesus sending him? It says he will teach us. And he will bring to our remembrance. These things talk two things here. There's two key words here. Teach and remind. Teach for me is something, points to something that you don't yet know, right? When you're in school, you go to school and you're taught because you don't yet know those things. Remind you, however, talks about things that you already know. I want to highlight here, and folk, if we don't get this right, we miss the entire purpose of God's positioning himself within us. The teach word here is not like school. It's not a knowledge word. It's a faith word. He teaches us by faith. It's a faith concept. I cannot be taught by the Holy Spirit unless I allow him to take me on a journey of faith. Amen. We can't. The problem is we too often approach the ministry of the Holy Spirit as a knowledge concept and wonder why we don't see breakthroughs. Remember, the ministry of the Holy Spirit working in me is better than just me. And I better expect that if the Holy Spirit is working within me, the things that the Holy Spirit wants to do are supernatural. That word just means of, relating to, or being above or beyond what is natural. Folk, we have to grasp this. We have to grasp the fact that by God putting himself within us, he's put the very supernatural character and nature of himself within us. which means the things that he's calling us to do have to be supernatural of nature. They have to be beyond what we can do in our own strength. To walk in the power of the Holy Spirit in things I don't yet know requires faith and it requires obedience. To walk in the power of the Holy Spirit in things that I do already know, guess what? Requires faith and obedience. So often we don't walk in those two things. And so in the things that we don't yet know, we don't allow the supernatural power of God within us to walk us into those because of fear. And with the things that we already do, we don't walk into those things and repeatedly say, God, fill me more and remind me more of that, because we become self-dependent. Leviticus 23, we find God's instruction for celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles. This was an amazing feast. It was given in a point of history right after God had delivered Israel from bondage in Egypt. The Feast of the Tabernacles, what it was, thousands upon thousands of Jewish people would come together, all living in these temporary shelters that they would put up, or booths. Sometimes you hear this festival called the Feast of Booths. As part of the requirements for the feast, during the eight-day period, so many sacrifices were made that it required all 24 divisions of the priests from all the different tribes to come together to perform those sacrifices. There were a total of 70 bullocks, 14 rams, 98 lambs, 182 sacrifices in total offered during the Feast of Tabernacles. And the whole reason for the Feast of Tabernacles was to remember what? Remember, it came at the time where God had just, it was instituted at the time that God had just delivered Israel from bondage out of Egypt. The reason it was instituted, that festival, was to remember and celebrate God's deliverance and his provision. And in John 7, 37, verse 39, it says this, and now this is the context that Jesus is speaking this. On the last day of this feast, he stands up. And in the scripture, it says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. If you carry on to read verse 40, it says, when they heard these words, some of the people said, this really is the prophet. Others said, this is the Christ. I don't think it was by chance that Jesus stood up on the last day of this festival and said what he said. Remember, this feast was instated to remember and celebrate God's deliverance and provision. And yeah, Jesus says there's a source of deliverance. This is in essence what he's saying. There's a source of deliverance which will bring you deliverance once and for all time, and it's found in me. And not only is there deliverance, but there's a source of provision that will be constant and will be in you and will flow out of you and will provide for you and will provide for others. The Holy Spirit. And this is a better provision and a better deliverance than the provision and deliverance you experienced when you were brought out of the bondage of Egypt. See, rather than deliverance for one event, he says there's a deliverance that's eternal. Rather than provision for one event, he says the Holy Spirit's provision will be continual in your life. Isn't that amazing? The other thing that he alludes to in this passage is what I've called the source and the direction of the flow of the river. Read it again. It says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. We come through the deliverance that Jesus has brought us into the provision of the source and the power of the Holy Spirit, which now dwells within us. And as we thirst, what he's saying here, as we thirst, rivers of life will flow what into us? It's all about what I can get. It's all about God, fill me. It's all about just for me. No, rivers of life will flow out of you. I don't know if there's any electricians in the house, but the little I do know about electricity is don't touch live wires. But other than that, I've heard that there's these little things called capacitors, resistors, and conductors. And you see, a capacitor is something that stores electricity. Doesn't allow it to pass through, it just stores it. A resistor is something that resists or hinders the passage of the electrical current. It's actually there to stop the movement of electrical current. And a conductor is something that carries and transmits easily the electrical current. And folk, we live so often like capacitors and resistors. We live like these people that just want to store this provision that is from God, store what was right from the eons of time the Father put in place. And he said, they have to be made in my image so they can be carriers of my presence to those that don't know me. But yet we just say, me, storehouse. Whereas we've been called to be conductors, been called to those that carry the presence of God but easily transmit it into the areas and into people's lives where God shows us by the power of his Holy Spirit. See, the river flows out, not in. The source is already in. Can you say that with me this morning? Within me is already the source of life if you know Jesus. I wouldn't use this illustration probably up in Alberta or areas like that about a beaver dam because they'd probably lynch me. But we went up to Alberta last year and I can't even remember the place. It was up by Jasper somewhere and we saw these beaver dams. I want to use this as an illustration. You see, a beaver, he comes into a place where there's water and he lives and he breathes and he draws nourishment from that which is in the water. He builds a place of provision. There's provision for him in the water. There's safety. There's security in the water. And as he moves around those things that are in the water, cuts the things down, whatever, repositions them, what happens is the water level of that dam starts to rise. And as the dam starts to rise, what eventually happens is the water overflows into areas that before was dry and arid and where there was no provision for the beaver to actually live and move and have his being in that place. And as it overflows, new territories open, they expand, and he's able to move into new areas, and he's able to bring not only new life to himself, but new life to the area where he moves into. Just by allowing a flow of the water to flow out from that dam into the dry, arid areas. It's not hard to see the parallel. But folk, we're not called to be dams. We're called to be people that understand that the power of the Holy Spirit, yes, is with us, but he lives in us. And he's in us to allow the purposes of God and the plans of God and the passion of God and the love that you have for Christ and the desire to see miracles happen in your life and the desire to see miracles happen in others. He's there to cause that to flow out of us by the power of his Holy Spirit. We started off looking at examples of things that long ago, if men and women had been asked whether they were possible, they would have said impossible. Another man in history, Moses, a man that had once cried out to God when faced with the task of moving an entire nation of people into a promised land. In Exodus 33, had called out to God and he had said, Lord, if your presence doesn't go with me, and I'm paraphrasing, if your presence doesn't go with me, I will not move. If he had been asked the following question, Moses, do you think that one day it will be possible that there will be people who will not have to look for the presence of God in a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day, but they will have the continuous presence of God through the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling within them to lead them, to guide them, and minister through them, Moses, do you think one day it will be possible that those people with that will choose to ignore the promptings of the Holy Spirit? Choose when told by the Spirit to go here, will go there. Choose to do nothing when the power that resides within them except to be a consumer rather than choose to impart supernatural life. Do you think it will be possible? I think his reply would have been impossible. Impossible. Who would not draw continually on the provision within them that he only got to see a small measure of in a pillar of fire by night and a cloud by day? But folk, we live like that. If I have to be honest and I look at my life, I was recounting my testimony on Thursday, on Tuesday at the Holy Spirit time. And you know, you may have been there or not, but the point of it was that I came away a broken man after recounting that. Because when I think of how I've just become so familiar with the presence of the Holy Spirit, I've become one that just takes for granted the very fact that eons ago the Father saw me into the future and he said, I want to create this man in my own image so that it can be the carrier of my presence. I take it for granted. I get up, I do my own thing. In fact, I live like this. I don't know if we can have that photo on, but sometimes this is me. I live like that. I walk with my bag, my little bag over the shoulder of the provision of the Holy Spirit. It's comfortable. In it, I can have just the right amount that I need. In fact, sometimes if it gets too heavy, I can even just put it down. And while I'm carrying it, I'm scratching like a chicken. Scratching around going, something, there must be something here. Scratching through my toys, my TV, through my car, scratching through mine. And I'm hoping to find a morsel to eat. Folk, how many of us live like that? So it's a spiritual picture, which I think if we're honest with ourselves this morning, many of us will have to say, yeah. I'm telling you what, folk, the Spirit of God is not contained in a bag on our shoulder. The Father's plan was for you was much more great. As his plan for us is this. We can have that other picture. The last one. The banquet. The banquet. Well, if it's not there, it might not have loaded. I don't know. But it's a picture of a banquet table, folk. It's a picture of a banquet, of a provision that is way beyond what you could ever ask or imagine. And I feel this morning is about two things. And I feel like the Lord wants to do something in our hearts this morning. It's about two things. It's about realizing that there's a banquet table for you where there is the Spirit of God that comes with you. He's the helper. He's the comforter. He comes along and he is there for a provision for us. And this morning, God wants to provide for you at a new level. Do you believe that? This morning, God wants us to go out saying, God, it's not enough that I have just this little bag. But this morning, there's a provision. I want you to take this bag and I want you to stuff the fullness of yourself within me. Because you see, the first thing is he wants to come and he wants to walk with us. But also, we cannot move a step into the future unless we go on this journey, not of knowledge, but of faith. And faith deems that I have to start waking up to the fact that there's a provision within me that God wants to see let out. This morning, I believe God wants to do that. And I want to break a little bit with tradition this morning. And if you're visiting with us, I trust that you get the heart of what we're doing this morning. This is not to make anybody feel uncomfortable or whatever, but I feel like God wants to minister to people this morning. And it's not necessarily through somebody. This word that I've shared, folk, is a simple word. It's not here to tantalize your ears. It's not here to say, whoa, look how wonderful he is. It's here to say, God, point to one person, the power of the Holy Spirit as sent to us, as promised to us through Jesus. And this morning, I believe he wants to release more of that into our hearts and lives. But are you thirsty? Am I thirsty? I want us to, can you stand with me for a moment this morning? And I'm going to ask us to do something a bit different if you're comfortable with this. I want to make opportunity for some of the leaders and the deacons and the elders to be able to move amongst people and to just pray for you. Folk, this is not about what people have to say for you. This is about the Holy Spirit bringing home the relevance and the importance of Him within you this morning. I believe there's things that God wants to release over people here this morning. I believe He wants to let out the joy. I believe He wants to let out the passion and the security that can only be found in Him. I believe He wants to let out the gift of evangelism, the gift of healing, the gift of ministry, the gift of the prophetic. I believe He wants to let that out of each one of our lives. To let it out, we have to say, God, come and do it. We're thirsty. I'm going to ask us to do something different, if you don't mind, just so that people can get to you if they're wanting to pray. If you're comfortable with this, if you're not, that's fine. But I'd love us to move some chairs out of the way this morning. I'd love us to make open a space in the front, call up the worship team. Can the worship team come up? We've got some time, folk. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to do what only He can do this morning. It's not about trying to orchestrate something. This is not an orchestration moment. This is a moment, I believe, where God wants to bring about a real sense of the passion and the priority and the power that He has at work within us. So let us just be open to what the Holy Spirit. Don't get distracted by the moving of chairs. Let's keep our eyes fixed on the King. Let's keep our eyes fixed on this King this morning. I'm going to invite you. I'm not going to coax you. I'm going to invite you to come and join me as we stand here in the front, expecting for God to do what He wants to do. This is not an invitation that's scary, guys. This is an invitation to just approach the throne of grace with absolute confidence. You can stay where you are, and there's exactly the same power. There's no, you know, there's a saying, you know, come to the front under the spout where the glory comes out. No. God is here. He's here and willing to able to move. But how expectant are we this morning? And I want to say, if you're expectant, put out your faith this morning. Put out your faith, not for the ministry of a man, not for the ministry of somebody, but for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to impact your life right now this morning. That's what He wants to do. There's lots of space. Come forward. Just take up the space. Fill up the space. Let's just be obedient to the power of the Holy Spirit. If you have a word this morning, folk, there is not one who's ministering here, as in me. There's one who's ministering here this morning, and it's the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit convicts you with something over this people this morning, come and share it with one of the elders. We want to release those things. We want to release the power. If you are sick this morning, if you are here this morning and you are desperate for God to break through, the power of God is within you, and the power of God is within us this morning to see breakthrough come. We are not beggars on a scrap heap. We are people that have been invited to a banquet. Just close your eyes for a moment, folks. Just close your eyes. Don't focus on anybody around you. Just close your eyes. Just can I ask you in your heart this morning, just in your own heart, say, God, I'm desperate. God, I'm desperate. Not desperate as in I'm looking for scraps in a pile. Desperate to be partakers in the fullness of what you have. Even now, just sense the power of the Holy Spirit. Invite Him, church. Invite Him. Invite Him. We invite You, Lord.